Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way, they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Today we heard that the apostles who were traveling with Jesus didn't understand his death and his resurrection and what that was all about. And they were afraid to ask him about it. And they also had argued amongst themselves who was the greatest. Now, after these two things, the storyteller Mark says, Jesus sat down. In those days, this meant, and the people who were hearing Mark would have understood it, this meant that Jesus was going to preach a sermon. Preachers in those days didn't stand like we do today. They sat to give the sermon. Now, as part of the sermon, Jesus brings a child. Most translations say that he set the child before them. Our translation said he put the child before them. But in my opinion, the best translation of the Greek word here, and there's some good reason for it, is that he stood the child among them. It's used in 18 of the 60 translations I checked out. He stood the child among them. This message, I believe, Mark is trying to convey, is both literal and there's also a spiritual message here. Jesus has the child stand next to him literally as he's seated delivering the sermon. But there's a spiritual message. In those days, children had no standing in society. Children would not have been welcomed to stand next to the preacher during a sermon. You know the attitude. Children should be seen and not heard. You've heard that. Spiritually, Jesus was giving standing. That's why the Greek word is important for stand, I believe. Jesus was giving standing to someone who was considered to have no value in that society. They didn't even have legal rights. For Jesus, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. The least have value in the eyes of God. Jesus valued tax collectors and prostitutes. Jesus valued the blind, the deaf. Jesus even valued lepers. To Jesus, every human being is a child of the Heavenly Father. A child is a perfect example here. Children have a lot to learn. There's so much that they don't understand. There's so much that the apostles didn't understand. And Jesus welcomes them as they are. Jesus loves them as they are. That's the truth about Jesus. He welcomes and loves everyone just as we are. In matters of faith and religion, understanding, intellectual knowledge, I think, can become too highly rated. By having this child as an example, Jesus is saying to his disciples and us, I accept you and love you no matter how much you understand or how much you don't understand. A child is also a perfect example because the apostles, we're told, were afraid to ask questions about things they didn't understand. Children ask a lot of questions. And Jesus is telling the disciples to be like children. Don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. This is a basic attitude of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with questions. In our religious culture today, there seems to be an attitude that asking some kinds of questions is wrong. Everything is supposed to be clearly understood. But in matters of faith, understanding is overrated. I can't tell you the number of times people come up to me and think I know something completely and understand completely. I can give an answer to any religious question. Very often that answer is, I don't know. Jesus is telling his disciples to be like that inquisitive child who asks about everything. It's okay to ask Jesus, to ask God in prayer, why is this suffering going on? Why? It's okay to ask God, why is this happening now? Why is this happening to that person? Why him? Why her? Why? 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 We might not get the answers we're hoping for, but the answer that Jesus gives is always an answer we need. Jesus will say to us, I value you. I love you. I love you for who you are. I am with you. Last Sunday's class here about faith and religion and being a Lutheran was 4 hours. Part of it was my famous card tricks, but it was still basically 4 hours. At the beginning, I told a story about someone who said to me at the end of a 6-week Bible study, thank you for teaching me how much I don't know. Today, Jesus is unfolding a new message for the apostles. They're about to learn. They're coming closer and closer to learning what his death is all about and what the resurrection means. It's unfolding for them. There was a lot that they didn't know. They have a lot to learn. So being a disciple of Jesus means that we keep learning. We keep learning until that moment when we receive the Heavenly Father's greatest gift, eternal life. In heaven, there's nothing for us to learn. We learn here. When Jesus sat down to preach, the disciples had been discussing who's the greatest. And it's as if Jesus is looking at them and asking them, saying, do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Do you want to be great? Know this. You're only great because God is great. You're not great because you went to seminary or a Bible study. You're great because God loves you. You're great because God forgives you. You're not great because you preach a sermon or read readings or play music or serve in the church. That's not what makes you great. You're great because God's blessings are flowing through you when you preach a sermon, when you read readings, when you play music, or when you serve in the church. You're great because it's what God is doing through you, because God is great. So just as Jesus took that child in his arms, God embraces us in the arms of love. Our greatness lies in what God is doing through us. God embraces us. God inspires us. God forgives us. God heals us. God feeds us. God nourishes us. God speaks to us. The disciples argued about who was the greatest. They missed the point. Jesus just told them. He told them about the cross and resurrection. It's through that cross and resurrection that God gives greatness. And we need to give the apostles a break. We've heard about this story for 2,000 years. They were in it the first time. Imagine. Jesus was teaching them, and this message has come down through the ages. This is how we measure greatness in the kingdom of God, by what God has done and by what God is doing for us and through us now. We're great because God values us. Jesus suffered and died on the cross because he valued everyone. And this is our mission as disciples, as the church. Whether we're lifelong members of the church, or whether we're new members, or whether we're children even, we value people because God values people. Just as God values all God's children, we as church value all children of the Heavenly Father. Let us pray. In your hearts and minds, pray for the lowest of the low, those who have no value in society, outcasts, sinners. Pray for those who are living in anger, hatefulness. Pray for those who are a danger to themselves or a danger to others. Pray for them. Pray for all God's children, Pray for the unborn, the infants, the children, the youth, adults, the aging, the sick, the dying. Pray hard for all those who are suffering. And pray for those who are in prisons, physical prisons, or spiritual prisons, or emotional prisons, or mental prisons. Pray for the anxious. Pray for those who are depressed. Pray for the lonely. Pray for those who grieve. These and more, all of these that we have just prayed for, are children of the Heavenly Father. And listen to the voice of God speaking to all God's children and to us. God is saying, I embrace you with loving arms. I value you. God is saying, I love you.